Yeah, what is going on?
Hey Mace, we got a few more comparisons for you.
Okay.
Okay?
This is
One of which I think you'll
who I am to the station, right?
This is from Tim Haddock. Okay. Steve Mason is the Mike Trout of ESPN LA. He is the
Wow.
best player on the team, maybe the best player in the league of sports radio. But
Wow.
nobody ever notices him enough or appreciates him enough.
Wow, I love this guy. Send that guy a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. That's the kind of affirmation that I need in my life.
Now, I have another tweet
Oh
with
no.
another comparison. I'm not
Oh
sure
no.
about this one. Mace is Luol Deng. Gets paid whether he is there or not. Martin Garcia. He
Yeah.
has a really good Twitter handle. He's at slower and older.
Oh, nice. At slower and
That's a
older.
good Twitter handle.
Clinton Yates is going to join us here in a minute.
Yeah.
Actually, we got good stuff coming up. Clinton's online right now. Hey, Clinton, how are you, man?
What's up, gang? How we doing?
Everything is great. Everything's great. So we were just talking about the Dodgers, Clinton, and the fact that how much money they put into this team. Alden Gonzalez did a great piece today. Their payroll is at $245 million, which is 26% more than the second highest payroll in the league, which is the Yankees. And I think that's what has made the Dodgers so deadly, is the fact that they've got that small market mentality, that analytics approach that Andrew Friedman has been on the cutting edge of all along with a gigantic budget. That's why the Dodgers are where they are.
Yeah, and the thing that budget helps out more than any other sport in a lot of ways is the depth. You see that in pitching staff. You see that in the past, I don't know, 3 seasons in terms of all the people they've been able to turn over and keep coming up from the minor league system, and just guys that are generally all around great players. You can keep those guys when you're spending money, and it's not that hard. You know, there's all these other teams that kind of try to pick and choose everything because they're on a different budgetary plan. Dodgers are like, forget that. We'll just get the best players we think should be here and stick them on the roster. And it's kind of weird, too, because it almost feels like there's almost more pressure this year to win the World Series than there was even last season, which is odd considering they just won it. But I think that bloated payroll is a part of that for sure.
You think there's more pressure on the Dodgers this year?
I think that if they don't win this year, considering that some people consider them a better team and they're spending this much money, it's just kind of like, well, what do you, I don't know. I mean, I would be very, I don't know. I feel like last year, because they had not yet won it, it was still sort of up in the air as to whether or not it was going to happen. This
Okay.
year, they're the favorites. They're the
Okay.
go-ahead.
Clinton Yates,
I think
you
it's
are a
not exactly a
Washington
disappointment,
Nationals
but
fan.
I've.
You are a Washington Nationals fan. When they won the World Series, how good was your life made? Like how long had you been waiting for that? And when they finally
Well,
won,
that's a
how
different
long will that
story, Momo.
championship? Washington Nationals? When they finally
No,
won
I
it
mean, what
2 years
I'm saying is
ago?
that I think for the Dodgers standards, if you're spending that much money with this good of a team, I'm not saying
Oh,
it's a huge
man.
letdown. I'm just saying that, like, this is going to be a big year. I mean, I think, yeah, they should win the World Series. Absolutely. That's my opinion. They're that good, for sure.
Clinton, I completely agree with you. They should win the World Series, but we know the reality. You're a baseball fan. Momo, you're a baseball
Yeah.
fan.
Yeah.
This team is going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to have the best record in the National League. And I don't have any doubt about that. This is a 97 to 103 win baseball team, and I think they'll win the West and have the best record in the league. But you get to the playoffs, and it's an entirely different environment. There is just no guarantee once you get into the playoffs that you're going to be able to win that World Series. No team has repeated since 99-2000, the Yankees. And that's, 21 years it's been. It's really, really hard to repeat. And it requires, no matter how much talent you've got, it requires a little luck. It requires a guy going on a hot streak. It requires Julio Urías emerging as a long-inning closer in that game. Whatever it happens to be, you need that luck factor to go along with that talent. That's what makes winning the World Series so tough.
100%. I'm not saying that I'm going to be up at pitchforks at Chavez Ravine if they don't win the World Series. I just think that the expectation level on what this franchise is has changed a little bit. You've already got one under your belt. Presumably there's a little bit more playoff metal. You got, again, the larger payroll. Everybody is sort of satisfied on that front. I just feel like this is a team that should have that expectation, no doubt about it. It's not going to be some massive disappointment, but they're the favorites for a reason, and I believe that.
So, Clinton, what happened with your Nationals last year? Like, this is if the Dodgers are to learn something from the championship hangover that happened in D.C. last year, like, what is it?
Well, the Nationals also had a situation where, you know, the injury to Strasburg, they came up against the circumstance where, you know, Rendon left. They just had a lot of players that were up against their time with the Nationals, and that team was never going to be that good going into the next season. That was a very real part of just what the alignment of the roster was. They had to win it that year. That's why they were the buzzsaw that Strasburg said. I think this Dodgers team is built a little differently. They've been great for a good five seasons. That's kind of where I'm coming from with this. Like, this is a championship team that I think should be looking at that Commissioner's Trophy as the lone goal because, you know, nobody's going to be upset about it, but they're the best baseball team I've seen in a long time. The Nationals were kind of a flash in the pan after a 10-15-year process of just trying to create a franchise that was viable at all. You know what I mean? So I actually wrote a story about this for Baseball Prospectus, the new book coming out that just came out. This is kind of the next year for the Nationals is the first year of the rest of our lives. So it's just a kind of a different situation for me, Momo.
So there's today is a special day on the calendar. You know how there's always a day. It's pizza day or it's chocolate chip cookie day or whatever.
Yeah, there's always some weird quirky thing going on that nobody knew about until 2 years
ago. So today's day is really interesting. It's called National Day of Unplugging. National Day of Unplugging. It Friday.
Yeah.
There you go. And I have the weekend completely clear. I have been able to unplug before. For 24 hours, I've been able to unplug. That's about as much as I can take. Would you guys be capable of unplugging for 24 hours? No internet, no phone, no nothing. No TV, no Alexa, no nothing like that. Could you do it? Are you capable of it?
If I may jump in here, Momo, I believe for your people, this is a regular occurrence that has a name that is happening every Friday
night. It's
called
Shabbat.
From what I understand of the world, this is something that goes on all the time. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool thing to do every once in a while. I try to do it about once a week. It doesn't really add up to a 24-hour lengthy period in terms of one whole time. But every once in a while, man, you got to put the phone down. Those screen reminders come up and they tell you all the times you've been looking at your phone and it's just like, oh, this is depressing. But, you know, 2020, 2021, we're all different. So I do very much suggest to folks, sometimes you got to let it go. Go to the beach, chill
supposedly
out.
Supposedly Google, if you work for Google, they tell you once a month that you're supposed to go a weekend without any internet. Because they know it's good for your brain.
Great idea.
They know it's good for your mind.
Okay, wait, tell me what this constitutes. What do you have to do without?
You know, you have to do without the internet. You have to do without your smartphone. You got to deal without Twitter. You got to deal without TV. You got to deal without outside music. I think books are okay.
Okay.
But to be completely unplugged.
Okay.
Oh, man, I couldn't do it.
I don't think Momo
do the phone. I could do the internet. I don't know that I would need one of the other things, though. I would need TV. Or I would need music or something.
Let it go. They're playing. Jorge's playing Let It Go.
I mean,
I love it. I'm actually
just thinking about that.
Right. The easiest way for me to unplug, though, is to leave the home. You know what I mean? If you go on a trip, go somewhere, Palm Springs kind of situation,
that's
a different story. It makes it a little easier to, you know, gather yourself and center your thoughts. But if I'm in the crib, I'm watching TV. That's how that can work every day of the week. So.
I've actually got a movie on my list this week. I've seen most everything.
But you're watching a movie. That's not
on. I thought that was off the list. What are we talking about?
I put movie in a different category.
Okay, well, I can do that.
But you're streaming the movie, Mace.
Like, I'm not just going to lay around with CNN But I want to watch that movie, Judas and the Black Messiah.
There's a film snob element to this take. There's a film snob element to this take. I just want everybody to know that. Films are okay. No, but I'm kind of with you. I have not seen the Black Messiah movie yet. I'm going to check that out soon. It's one of those some of these black trauma movies I don't always jump into immediately, you know, because it's like, let's see how this goes. So, you know, once I regroup and do my unplug, then I'll watch that movie.
Yeah, it's supposed to be great. Daniel Kaluuya is in it. He won the Golden Globe the other night. Okay, so I want to ask you about the Deshaun Watson situation. Deshaun Watson, obviously, still unhappy. Deshaun Watson has demanded a trade. I have said on the show a little bit earlier, if I'm the Houston Texans, I'm not going to rush to trade him. I'm going to go to Deshaun Watson. I'm going to say, look, Deshaun, you've got sway in this organization. There are some free agent wide receivers on the market right now. There's Allen Robinson, and there's A.J. Green, and there's Marvin Jones, and there's Deshaun Jackson. Tell us who you want to throw to. Tell us who you want to be in this offense. We want to build this entire thing around you. Don't you think that's the proper approach to Deshaun Watson right now?
Yeah, but that would have been the proper approach 2 years ago with Deshaun Watson. The issue was that when he wanted, say, with the franchise, and he actually told them what he thought in the offseason they should do, they didn't do it. And so now it's very difficult for him to be in a position of trust. And that's why this is so awkward, because sort of the public opinion about what's going on with the Texans is obviously that they have no clue how to run their operation if you're upsetting that guy and losing J.J. Watt in the course of, you know, whatever, 6 months. And so I'm kind of with Watson on this. Yeah, you signed a contract. Yeah, it was huge. But if they're openly sort of defying your agency and you're the franchise quarterback, what are you supposed to do? You know, sure, I'll take a couple wide receivers, but there's an element of too little too late for me that I completely understand for a guy like this. He's too young to be wasting time with bad franchises in the NFL.
But if you're the Texans, how do you win that trade? How do you win that trade if you're the Texans?
You just tell people that he's the best thing smoking, and you try to get a haul that you would never get for any other player. That's the only way I could think of it. Woody Page suggested on Around the Horn the other day that they just trade Russell Wilson for him straight up and deal with it, which I thought was kind of funny. But I think if you're the Texans, you just got to sell him as the Golden Goose and, you know, see if you can do a sort of Jimmy Johnson, Herschel Walker.
Examine that. Woody Page, that's an interesting take. Russell Wilson for Deshaun Watson. Who says no to that deal? You've got an unhappy Russell Wilson. You've got an unhappy Deshaun Watson. Both are elite quarterbacks. One is a little bit older. But wouldn't that hypothetically make sense as a trade?
I think it makes a lot of sense. And the idea that was so brilliant, which is that both teams think they will have better quarterbacks than they did before. Works on all levels.
I don't think it works, because I think the whole reason Russell Wilson wants out, would accept the trade, however that's been phrased, is because they suck. Like, they haven't built a team around him, and he's running for his life all the time.
They're in it every single year. They're coming off a playoff year. They lost to the Rams in the first round, but they're in the playoffs virtually every year.
He wants an O-line. He does not want to run for his life anymore. He keeps getting hit. He wants them to, like, invest in that O-line and do some – like, he's got it better than Deshaun does. So if he gets traded there, he's really not going to be happy in Houston.
Yeah, that's true. But I think it's a different grade situation of needing a change of scenery than Deshaun's, which is the only reason why it might be somewhat reasonable. But I think it's tough. But it's an interesting thought exercise for sure, because they're very – not similar, but they're at a place in their careers where it wouldn't make that – I mean, you know, it wouldn't be that ridiculous if they – let's flip-flop, see how this goes. It'd be fun.
Hey, how long have you lived in L.A. now, Clinton?
Coming up on a year. I mean, we're getting close to it. You know, it's one of those things where I'm officially a resident at this point. So
you've not seen L.A. at its best because you've been in pandemic times this whole time, right?
Yeah, but there's an outside argument that the peace and love that comes with people being in their cribs and chilling is a very, very useful thing, and I've enjoyed it so far. So we can get into gear. I'm ready for it, but, you know, year off, it was a tough one for everybody, but I learned, I think, some things I probably wouldn't have learned about the city had it been in sort of normal times when I got here.
Next Friday will mark 1 year of me and Ireland and Lindsay and Jorge all working at separate places doing the show. 1 year of doing the show at home, which is crazy. Crazy.
Man, time flies. Time flies.
All right. Hey, listen, Clinton, thanks a lot for coming on. Have a great weekend, man.
Thanks, guys. Momo, Mace, everybody. Have an excellent weekend. And unplug. It's a good idea.
Unplug. Exactly. Yeah,
except for the TV. I need the TV.
Let it go, Momo. See, I view movies as a different category because it's defined viewing. It's like, I'm going to watch this movie. I'm not going to just flip around and waste my time on different stuff.
But what about, like, streaming something on Netflix.
Like what?
Binging Better Call Saul.
Yeah, that's not really unplugging, but I do recommend that you binge Better Call Saul.
That's what we're starting. It's such a good show.
Well, I mean, to be fair, today is a hard day to unplug given what just released on Amazon Prime today, isn't it?
That's right! Coming to America 2 is out on Amazon Prime
today.
Coming to America. Yeah, what we're going to do this weekend is, it's been a long time since I've seen Coming to America, and I don't think Juan has ever seen Coming to America.
Really?
So we're going to do a double feature.
Yeah.
We're going to watch the original Coming to America, and then we're going to watch Coming to America, the brand new version that Eddie Murphy has just released on Amazon Prime. And I think that'll allow us to get more of the sort of the inside jokes and the Easter egg kind of thing by watching the first one first. Adam, are you going to watch the first one first?
I mean, you know what? I think it makes sense to you. It's been so long since I've seen that movie. I feel like I need a refresher to be ready for the sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it's been years since I've seen it, so a refresher is probably a good idea, and I'm sure that's streaming too. All right, hey, today's the day to finally get that new TV. By the way, 877-710-ESPN. It is F at Friday, so anything you got is cool. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ooh.
Back on Mason in Ireland. Thanks a lot for being out there. We appreciate it. Don't forget, 3:30, we're giving away that Lakers edition Papa Shot arcade basketball game for your man cave, for your garage, for your living room, wherever you want to put that. We're going to give it away, your chance to win. All-Star Week is driven by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles dealership for sales and service. I'm excited for the All-Star game. I actually thought last year's was really fun, and I know we don't know any of the names of the guys in the dunk contest, but I still find the dunk contest entertaining.
Hey, I know one of the guys' names. Do you know Cassius Stanley? Played out here at Sierra Canyon. Sierra Canyon star. Went to, you know, he was like, that's my pick to win it. If you've seen him on YouTube, it's either him or Obi Toppin. I think Obi's pretty amazing too. But
and then who's the third guy? Anthony Simmons. Simon?
Yeah, Simmons. I forget how to pronounce it. But yeah, we don't know. They're not like, you know, huge names or anything like that, like they were last couple of years.
Was spectacular.
Oh, awesome.
Last
hey, Monday we're going
to
have Candace Parker on. Candace Parker, who was a judge in last year's dunk contest.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, she was part of the scandal.
Yeah, well, I still think she's unhappy about it because...
because Dwayne Wade did not follow the rules. Yeah,
I know. They had an agreement, and Dwayne Wade went and did his own thing to reward his teammate.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Kevin in L.A. Kevin, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, Mace. Hey, Momo. It's great to hear from you guys all the time, listening. Long-time fan, long-time listener.
Thanks,
Going
Kevin.
Going back to the... who I think you would be as a Laker. Now I got three choices here, or three different ideas I have here.
Okay.
I wouldn't put you as LeBron. I would put Ireland as LeBron because you know, he knows most of the stuff about the Lakers. But he cannot do it. He cannot win a championship or do it exactly by himself. He needs that help. He needs AD. So that's where you would come in. You would be the AD. You would be the one to help him out. Because the show would not be the show.
Wow.
And Ireland. But,
so I miss a lot of time. That does make sense for AD. I do miss a lot of time.
I have one more thing to say. You have to add, because, of course, sometimes they got to go out. You got to have a sub. That's where Momo comes in. Everyone wants to see or hear Momo. Momo's THT. She's the Talen Horton Tucker of the show.
Okay.
Right. She's the one you want to get more minutes.
Yes. She's the one you want to hear.
Yeah, that's great, man.
One more thing. If I can add one more thing to everything. I know we're talking about the All-Star game, and just going back to Jazz, how everyone was saying that, why are the Jazz the last pick? You know, everyone's going to talk about that. Momo was saying it's going to be somewhat the talk of the town a little bit. You know, some news is going to fire up about that. You know, I think, if you remember, you were talking before, a couple shows before, where you and Ireland, Mason, you guys were talking about how the Jazz were 4-4 in the beginning of the season, and they just blew up. I think the turning point of when they blew up was when Shaq called out Mitchell. Do you remember that?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, they blew up. So it just fueled. It just added more fire to the fuel. I think this is what's happening now to the Jazz.
That's interesting.
LeBron said something about the Jazz when the when you play video games, nobody plays with the Jazz. Also, they were also what Momo was saying about earlier. I think it's just adding fuel to the fire. I think the Jazz are using that to all the more make themselves better and get more competitive.
That's a good call, Kevin. That's a good call. Make sure Kevin gets a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. We appreciate you listening, man. Thanks.
So here's the thing about the Jazz, Mace. Like, I know what LeBron is saying, because there is nobody, people don't play as the Jazz unless, I guess, they live in Salt Lake City or something. Maybe Ben Lyons might play as the Jazz. He, like, married into a Jazz family. But I think that there's something about, so players in the league, when I have talked to them about the Jazz, I think people respect Donovan Mitchell. I think Shaq's wrong about that. I think players around the league think he's nails. The Gobert question is far more polarizing, especially when you talk to players. Like, I remember, you know, asking Draymond Green a few years ago, I was voting for Defensive Player of the Year, and had been the reigning Defensive Player of the Year. And I was just like asking his opinion on different guys. And Draymond was like, I would pick AD. I think AD can guard 1-5. Like, to me, you got to be a person, you got to be a player. To be Defensive Player of the Year, you can't be a liability in any situation. Like, and a big guy like Gobert, elite, historically good level rim protector and interior defender.
Right.
But if you get him out on the pick and roll, like if you get him out on the perimeter, like teams can, like the Warriors especially, they would get him out in no man's land and they'd have Steph Curry running pick and roll. And he was, you know, that wasn't a great situation for him. So I understand why Gobert is a bit of a polarizing figure amongst players and amongst, you know, people. He doesn't get the respect I think he deserves as a defensive player, but he wins Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he has the metrics. The Jazz have one of the best defenses in the league. I think the Knicks actually right now have the best, but the Jazz are always right up there with him in the interior. So he's underappreciated, but they are the type of team that is so, like, scary come playoff time because they've played together a while now. They're finding their groove. A lot of people have compared them to kind of like the Pistons back when they won it that year. Just a good team.
A little bit starless.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Donovan Mitchell is a star, but he's not like a superstar.
Yeah, he's not winning. LeBron.
They would be winning without a superstar. They're not Brooklyn. They don't have a Joel Embiid like Philly does. They don't have that superstar, but they have got a really good balanced roster. And we saw what they did to the Lakers. That was a brutal night for the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean,
By the way, Jordan Clarkson, big shout out to Jordan Clarkson, fifth man of the year, is having a really good year.
Yeah, I think he's going to win sixth man of the year. If he keeps this up, that's his reward to lose. I mean, it's, you know, we get it. I love the people who, like, you know, it's MVP straw poll time. You know, we do it every quarter of the year. Tim Bontemps sends that around. I thought it was LeBron's MVP to lose a couple of weeks ago. Joel Embiid has closed that gap. Like, I just got an email from one of the Vegas betting sites that Embiid is actually now the favorite to win. He's passed up LeBron in the Vegas rankings.
I was watching that Jazz-Philly game this week.
Ooh.
And Embiid just had a monster of a game. Monster of a game. And so you think right now, if you did your straw poll with all your experts, Tim Bontemps and all those guys, do you think right now the straw poll would show LeBron or would it show Embiid as the MVP?
I think Embiid would be it right now.
Really?
I think the straw poll, I think it's shifted. And it's actually hard for LeBron. I mean, what are you going to say? The Lakers lost 7-10. They've been struggling. LeBron sat out a game. So that was one of his things. He's played every game.
Didn't miss a game, right?
Yeah, that's the. You know, I think LeBron's at this stage where you just got to focus on the playoffs at this point. Get Anthony Davis back healthy. You know, play when you can. Play, you know, but don't overdo it because the MVP would be an amazing thing for him to win at his age, but the ring's the thing, man. You got four, you get five. Now you're up there with Magic and Kobe. Like, you're so close to Jordan. Like, the ring's the thing.
But, you know, to me, the narrative for LeBron is there.
It is.
The narrative is 18th year.
Yep.
36 years 36. Old. 18th year. You know, in a year where Tom Brady at 43 wins the Super Bowl, we're talking about longevity.
Yep.
Here's a guy with the longest peak I think I've ever seen, maybe in sports.
In basketball.
He has been at peak for 10 years.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the only guy that I could, in my head, off the top of my head, that reminds me of this is Kareem. Kareem had a pretty long run.
Did.
He played into his 40s. He was the last few years he had injuries, wasn't as good, but he was still damn good into his late 30s.
He was still scoring. Obviously, points leader. I think LeBron is going to surpass him as points leader sooner or later.
Yeah, I think it's like 2.5 years. The projection, if he averages about what he averages, all LeBron has to do is avoid major injuries and gaps, and that's the biggest thing. And so that, you know, look, the MVP race, the Defensive Player of the Year race, all that, these things change over time. I mean, they evolve throughout. Now, LeBron, like when you're the lead, I thought LeBron had the pole position. He has fallen off in that race.
I would still vote
as the
for
Lakers
LeBron.
Have.
I would still vote for LeBron.
I don't want to vote right now because I want to see what they look like after Anthony Davis comes back.
All right.
Right?
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Coming up next for you, voice of the Dodgers, Joe Davis is going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It is the best time of year. I actually have ESPN on right now, and I'm watching some Dodgers, Royals. They've got some players mic'd up. They've done some interviews. Trevor Bauer appeared on the show. It's an exclusive for ESPN. Joining us right now is the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Joe Davis. Joe, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Mace. Ramona, good to talk to you guys.
You too, man. It's my favorite time of year. We talking baseball.
I love it. Woo! I'm with you.
So good. So good. So how surprised were you that the Dodgers went big and signed Trevor Bauer?
You know, had you told me at the start of the offseason it was going to happen, I would have said, okay, yeah, I could see that. But then it got so deep into the offseason and it didn't happen, I just kind of figured they were moving on without him being part of the plan. So then they finally pull it off. And at that point, it had gone long enough where there's no deal that had been made that I guess I was a little bit surprised again. But it's pretty incredible what they've put together, not just the rotation, but the roster as a whole.
You know, we talk about how deep they are, how much talent they have. They lost some guys, though, and some fan favorites that, you know, I still can't, you know, it's weird to think of Kike Hernandez not being there. I know they got McKinstry to replace him, but how different is that clubhouse culture there? Like, how different is that going to feel with some of the guys they let go?
Yeah, Kike, one of a kind, right? I mean, we all saw what kind of personality he is, and I don't know, it's probably hyperbole to say one of a kind in terms of the kind of player he was, because you're seeing more and more guys like that are, and they value guys like that. You mentioned Zach McKinstry, who can be similar to that. Chris Taylor is that kind of guy. So I think that they can maybe not replace Kike in terms of what he does on the field, but at least come up with other options to do similar things. Personality-wise, one of a kind. I don't know if there's anybody else like him out there. And Jock Peterson had his moments where he was valuable. I don't think anybody would say Jock Peterson was like a key piece of culture or a key piece of chemistry.
He was great in the playoffs. He was great in the playoffs.
He was.
At one point, they called him Jocktober.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. And that's what I mean when I say he had his moments and he had some stretches during regular seasons where he was really good. But he found an opportunity where he thinks he can be an everyday guy, and you understand why he took that.
Joe Davis, voice of the Dodgers, is with us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo is in for John. So one of the sort of side stories of this year is Corey Seager, who is going to be a free agent at the end of this season. And apparently there will be no more negotiation. Scott Boras seems intent on getting him to market as a free agent. What does that dynamic play out like?
Well, I think that there are very few examples, Mace, of Scott Boras doing otherwise. And Xander Bogaerts in Boston is one of the only exceptions of that, where Boras did have a guy do a deal before he reached free agency. So that part's not surprising. I think the interesting thing to see is that, yes, it's Seager up this year, but it's also Clayton Kershaw. And then it's Cody Bellinger. And then it's Walker Buehler. So there are a lot of decisions that they're going to have to make in the coming years. It's not just do you sign Seager or not. It's the whole picture and how that all comes together. I mean, it sometimes seems like they got unlimited money, and it's awesome the way the ownership chooses to spend it, and they go out and put together a winner. But, I mean, a lot of these guys are going to command huge deals, and we'll see. We'll see if they're able to bring them all back or if they have to make decisions on the upcoming free agents.
So I feel like Clayton Kershaw, I'm so curious to see how he has changed now that he's won. Now that he delivered in the postseason, now that that's not an asterisk on his Hall of Fame career. Like, are you around him enough? Have you talked or seen enough from him yet to get a vibe of, you know, how that's changed him as a man?
Yeah, it seems like there's a sense of lightness with him now. And I think you started to see it a little more even before he finally got the monkey off his back his family grew and he had three kids now, and as he softened up a little bit as he started to have the kids. But now that he's won it, man, he's a pleasure. And again, not that he was ever not a pleasure, but you know how intense he is.
Oh, he was certainly.
And, that's a word you could use to describe him at times in his career. Yeah. There's none of that anymore. And part of that is spring training, and everybody's happy right now. But, man, we're talking about a guy who said he was playing We Are the Champions on repeat. Literally was doing that from home, in November as his family hanging out outside and everything.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite part of this team having finally won it, is getting to see him experience that.
Yeah, yeah. So we go into the season, I'm assuming, with Kenley Jansen still at closer, or at least getting a crack at closer. He struggled at times last year. He did rack up a bunch of saves. By the postseason, I think the Dodgers got away from him as closer. Do you anticipate him still being the guy to start the year?
To start the year, yeah. And I think that the point Dave Roberts makes is a good one. The best setup for the Dodger bullpen is if Kenley Jansen is the closer. I mean, that means Kenley Jansen pitching well as a closer. You look back to last year, and he's not the same guy he was in 2017. I think we all know that. But he had the single lowest average exit velocity against of any pitcher in baseball last year. So he induced soft contact better than any pitcher in baseball. So there's some statistical proof that there was some bad luck that came through in some of those numbers. And remember, too, in August, he was the reliever of the month for the first half of the season. So it's not completely gone, and it's not completely out of the question that he does start as the closer and pitch well in that role.
Joe, Gavin Lux is a name that we've been hearing for 2 years. You see these little flashes. Is this the year that we finally see him, that he does something, that he contributes? Like, what's going on with him this year?
Yeah, that's what the Dodgers hope. And you guys mentioned Kike Hernandez being gone. That opens up potential more playing time for him at second base, a little bit longer of a runway. Gavin Lux is a name, and talking with some of the hitting coaches so far, obviously really early on at spring training, but somebody that they're really excited about. And if you look at him coming up in 2019, it comes up at the end of what was the best minor league season anybody had that year across baseball. He was okay in his debut month, not great. And then last year, it's almost like you got to just throw it out. He got to camp late, undisclosed reasons. It's never come out exactly why he got to camp late, but he gets off to a slow start because of that. He goes to the alternate site to begin and just never really found his footing. I mean, by the time he came up, there's like 3 weeks left in the regular season. Last year's kind of a throwaway. And keep in mind, too, he's 23, 24 years old still.
And by the way, he's had 135 at-bats at the major league level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go look at Mike Trout, his first 150 at-bats, he batted 220. It is complete. We know the name forever, But it's not fair to expect him to explode necessarily or find his footing in 135 at-bats.
Yeah, you know what comparison I would make, guys, is Julio Urias, our expectations of him have been skewed because he got here so quickly. You know, he debuted when he was 19. And so 5 years after he debuts now, we're like, oh, finally this guy does something. Well, he's still just 23 or 24.
True.
You know, it's just our perception of where they should be at this point is skewed by how young they were when we first learned about him.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that second base role settles out. Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux, how much time does each guy get at second base? Hey, listen, Joe, it's great catching up. We're almost there, man. We're almost to baseball season.
Let's do it. I can't wait. It's always nice to talk to you guys.
Can we play some center field? Can we play some baseball music? Like, I'm looking out at the green grass. I can just smell it. I want to.
It feels close today, doesn't it?
Yeah,
man.
It's a beautiful day.
There we go.
All right. Hey, listen, Joe, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it.
Okay, Steve. Thanks, Ramona.
Thanks, cool. Joe.
Joe Davis there. I think he is.
He's nails.
He is such a great. And him and Oral Hershiser together is such a great broadcast team. And as of last year, the first time people could actually see what Spectrum does with baseball, what Sportsnet LA does, they do such. I occasionally do work for him, but really haven't done it in a couple of years.
ulterior
agenda here, ulterior motive, but that is a great piece of broadcasting.
So I've watched Spectrum the whole time. I've always had Spectrum.
Me too. Okay? I've always had,
I got to watch the Lakers and the Dodgers. I care about that more than football. So I've always watched them. I think they do a great job. I'm going to miss Alana Rizzo. I thought she
was fantastic. Yeah, me too. I'm going to miss Alana.
Yeah, she was fantastic. But we'll give her replacement a chance. I haven't watched it yet, so I don't want to say anything too much. But I'm opening the window and I'm looking out at the grass.
Yeah, this is a great day. Oh. Great day outside. Good start to the weekend. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder.
Woo!
Lindsay is off, which means that Adam Bronstein is going to do Radio Tinder today.
And then it's going to be the nerdiest thing you've ever heard.
Very nerdy, very nerdy. Then at 3 o'clock, Tim Kirkchin is coming on. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And filling in for Lindsay today, we'll see how capably he does it, Adam Bronstein. Adam, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? And apologies to everyone. I am not Lindsay, and I do not have Chewy barking in the background,
barking
so this will be a little different.
Okay.
And I lied. This is not going to be a nerdy Radio Tinder because Ramona challenged me, and I decided to answer the call. So all right. So, guys, we've all heard about these crazy gambling stories from professional athletes.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley is one of them, but this story, this might be taken a little far. Former NBA player Antoine Walker was on the All Things Covered podcast, and he had his own Michael Jordan gambling story. Quote, when Mike calls the buy-in, goes up a little higher. It's going to be a number that everybody has to bring to the table. I'd say 20,000 just to get in. If you don't have 20,000 to get in, you can't even play. Mike was competitive. I remember one time we played spades for 36 hours.
Wow.
We were playing against two other guys, and Mike and I were partners. They had us behind $900,000.
Oh.
So I'm sure at some point we've all thought about what we would do with FU money. So I'm asking both of you if you would be willing to risk up to $1 million gambling if you had FU money. Swipe left or swipe right?
You know, it's not in my nature. I would swipe right on this. It's not in my nature. I grew up in a somewhere between lower middle class and middle class family. Money was really something. My mom would say things like this. She would honestly say this. She said, "Your father could lose his job and we'd be on the street in 3 weeks." That was one of mom's big lines. So I treat money really, really carefully. I don't spend it freely. I'm not spendy. So no, I would never put $1 million on a bet or in a card game of any kind.
Yeah, me
neither.
Even
if I was, even if I had mega millions.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, it's that's just like throwing away your money. Like, it's not worth the thrill. Like, I would maybe play in a tournament, or I would play, I would do a like a large, you know, buy-in. Like, you know, Mace, you and I played in that Puig tournament, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was fun.
I killed it. You were actually good. I went to the final table. I finished second, and where were you? You made it close.
I lost early. I had a couple of bad beats. Remember, it was like some little old lady beat me with like two pairs she shouldn't have been in the hand with.
Yeah, I finished second. Like, that's so exciting to make the final table in one of those.
It really is.
You
were really good. I was very impressed. Yeah. I wouldn't lay that kind of money out gambling wise. Like, I had a stage in my life where I used to go to the card rooms all the time, where I go to Vegas all the time, play a lot of poker. And I have a little, there's something that gets activated in me where I can do that. And then all of a sudden I walk away and be like, what did I just do with the last 10 hours of my life? Like, we're 12 hours. I don't want to be that person. I got too many other things I want to do.
You know, after I get my second shot, I'm going to go play some cards.
Are you?
Yeah. Go play some cards.
Then that's the table I'm sitting at.
Do a bunch. Oh yeah. Right. Adam,
no, Mace,
you do not want
Mace is not what you expect. He's good. He's slow. He's cautious. He's not like a, I've never seen you get on tilt. I thought you were
really
good.
No, I play very, very tight. I'm very disciplined when I'm playing poker. All right, what's next, Adam?
Okay, so we've talked about it today. The sequel to Coming to America is out on Amazon Prime. And it has Eddie Murphy back in the spotlight. Eddie was on the SiriusXM podcast Comedy Golf with Kevin Hart this week. And he talked about what his next project would be. Quote, he said, "My plan was to do Dolomite, Saturday Night Live, Coming to America, and then do stand-up. And then the pandemic hit. And it shut the whole bleep down. Then I was going the whole time last year. I would have been out working on my act, trying to get my bleep right. And then the whole thing shut down. Hey, when the pandemic is over and it's safe for everybody to go out and do it, then the plan is to do it." Swipe left or swipe right on Eddie Murphy doing stand-up again.
Oh, swipe left. I absolutely want Eddie Murphy doing stand-up.
Do you think it would work now, though?
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Murphy could go out and create a set. I mean, he could do a set.
But I think
Eddie Murphy is one of the greatest stand-up comics ever.
Yeah, I mean, right there with Chris Rock and, I mean, one of the best, George Carlin.
Funny.
He's in that category.
He can do it. But you know what? I want to see him do something else. I know he wants to do stand-up, but I really, if there's one movie of his beyond Coming to America that I want to see updated, remade, Beverly Hills Cop. Come on!
Trading Places is the one for me.
Yeah.
Nobody else is excited about it? I love Axel Foley. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you've not seen Dolomite Is My Name, that was one of my favorite movies. I guess it was last year.
It was really good.
It was so good. It was an autobiographical film about this filmmaker named Rudy Ray Moore. You've got to go check it out. Dolomite Is My Name. It is one of Eddie Murphy's very best movies. You know, I think Eddie Murphy, his stand-up, let's think about greatest stand-up comics of all time.
Richard Pryor.
George Carlin.
Who else?
Chris Rock's awesome.
Chris Rock.
Hey,
you have to put Chappelle in there too.
You got to put Chappelle
in there.
I got one for you though.
Bette Midler. Oh my god.
I don't consider
gosh.
Her to be a stand-up comic.
Yeah, but she's so good at it. Oh.
Yeah, that was Bette Midler's great. More like a show. It's like a one-man show. It's not a stand-up.
It is, but she's funny in stand-up. Come on. Janine Garofalo, she's good.
Yeah, I would not put her in that category at all.
I'm actually a big Bill Burr fan.
All right, okay.
Bill Burr is great. Bill Burr is really good. I would put Ricky Gervais in the category.
Mm.
Ricky Gervais just makes me laugh a lot. When he does award shows, oh, God, he is so funny. He is so funny. All right, what's next, Adam?
All right, one more quick one. A snorkeler in the Florida Keys found some sunken treasure, But it wasn't the kind of treasure you think. A U.S. Border Patrol chief tweeted out this week, on Wednesday, a Good Samaritan discovered 68 pounds of cocaine, valued at over $1.5 million, floating in the Florida Keys. The individual noticed a large black bundle wrapped in tape and contacted local authorities. The bag contained 25 bricks of cocaine. Swipe left or swipe right on this Good Samaritan giving up their chance to be a real-life Scarface.
I would want...
He could have been Tony Montana.
I would want absolutely no part of that. I would turn it in. There's no way I'm getting involved in that. I mean, I like weed as much as the next guy, but there's no way I'm getting involved in blow.
Are we sure that he's a Good Samaritan?
Pelican, fly. Come on, Pelican.
Ooh, good one, George.
Are we sure that he's just found it?
That is a good point. It is Florida.
Right?
It is
Florida. I'm just saying.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
You know, like if you got into something and you wanted to get out of something, that'd be a pretty good way to do it.
That's it. That's what it's all about, Manny. Eating, drinking.
There you go. We were talking about movie catchphrases yesterday. Say hello to
And
my
there
fan.
Is your non-nerdy radio tender
wasn't
for today.
Too bad. Wasn't too
Not
bad.
Not too nerdy. There's a little poker in there that can be kind of nerdy.
Say
hello to my new friend.
There you go. It's a great
Which, by the way, Mace, it's been a while, but you don't want to see me at a poker table. Just saying.
Oh, trust me, Adam. When this thing is over, after I get my two shots and after you get your two shots, do you need two shots?
Adam, weren't you a dealer at some point?
The George. We don't talk about that on the air.
Oh, you were a dealer.
I never said what kind of dealer, Mace.
Well, I didn't realize you were a dealer. Where did you deal?
I deal at charity events, and I know how to deal poker.
Oh, well, that might make you tough. That Maybe. Might make
hey,
you
Greg
tough.
Bergman says Beverly Hills Cop 4 has been announced.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick Nolte.
No, like that thing has
old.
Been in development hell forever. Like, if they had stopped at Beverly Hills Cop 2, I might have been on board. But they made Beverly Hills Cop 3 and Wally World. No go.
Yeah, no go. All right, coming up next for you, Tim Kirkjian is going to join
us. Yes, more baseball.
Baseball legend, ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirkjian is coming up next for you. Don't forget, at 3:30, we are giving away that Lakers edition Papa Shot arcade basketball game. You can turn your garage or your living room or your man cave into a Dave and Buster's. We're doing that at 3:30. Make sure you're listening. Easy game. All-Star Week driven by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles dealership for sales and service. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.